ask you please to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Turn please to Jeremiah chapter 31. I want you to notice in that passage, as I was reading it today, it rather struck me, God is weeping. Chapter 31 of Jeremiah, and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Third reading, please, back in the Gospel according to Luke, at chapter 13. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. I find that a tremendously solid statement. Seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping. One final text, please, in this same Gospel, chapter 8. Chapter 8, I'm reading about the woman that came to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Pardon me, that's chapter 7. I can't get myself straightened out here. Chapter 7, verse 37. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. He began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Verse 40 reads, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors.
The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou wast rightly judged. He turned to the woman, said, Simon, seest thou this woman? Notice how the Lord speaks to this woman to the end of the chapter, verse 48. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. That's enough to make anybody weep. To weep with joy at the assurance of sins forgiven. I would like to think of the Lord Jesus weeping, God weeping. We read that most solemn word by a weeping prophet named Jeremiah of parents weeping. We read in our third passage of lost sinners weeping. I don't think we realize what it will be truly like for a soul to be lost eternally. I think we would do more weeping than I believe we ought to. In my last passage, I read of a forgiven sinner weeping. My heart's desire, my brother's heart's desire, and the heart of many in this audience tonight, is we trust this meeting will end that way. A forgiven sinner weeping. Marvelous. We weep with joy. Sins forgiven. The emotions of our Lord Jesus are a very instructive study in the Bible. And we stand and look with wonder at them. I think of the Lord Jesus laughing. Interesting. Only once you're going to read of it. It's marvelous to look upon the Son of God laughing. We read of him groaning. And we read of the Lord Jesus angry. But in this passage tonight we read of the Son of God weeping. You know, boys don't like to cry. They don't like to weep. That's not boys. No, that's all right for girls. Did you ever see a man weep? Have you ever seen your father weep, young man? You did, didn't you? When he was praying for you. What causes a man to weep? What causes God to weep? To me, that is stupendous. I cannot fathom it. The heart of God is weak. Our Lord Jesus stood by a graveside one day and he wept. And he wept because of the grief of Mary and Martha. They were helpless in the face of death. And that caused God to weep. You know, I think that every one of us here tonight, we need to take a good, solemn look at the reality of death. It's enough to make God weep. What's the matter with us? We are hardened. Tonight, my friend, you who do not have the assurance of God's eternal salvation as you've been hearing, it's time you faced what would ever move the God of heaven to weep about death. It's the hopelessness of man. He can't help his friend. He can do nothing in the face of death. And friend, if you die as you are, you will slip into the grip of death with nothing to hang on to, nothing to slow the advance of the King of Terrors, nothing helpless
is enough to make God weep.
I look at the Lord Jesus weeping as he lays on the ground in Gethsemane. And my Bible says he was weeping bitterly, strong crying and tears. You know what he was doing? He was looking into that cup of yours that you filled with sin. And mine. Oh God, I have to confess that since I've been saved, I have wept more over sin than I did before. Sin, my friend, is a tremendous crime against your benevolent, gracious, patient God. And you don't weep over it? Can I say, if nothing else, my friend, tonight, that should reveal to you concerning the hardness and the wickedness of your heart, if you've never faced it before, that you don't even weep over your sins. The Savior did. And he wept. He wept with the grief of his holy, infinite, undefiled heart. He wept strong, crying in tears as he thought of what it would mean to taste the wrath of God. Those of us who are saved here tonight, may I speak to our hearts for a moment? I don't think we're weeping enough, beloved. We have those whom we love, and some of you, I know that you grieve deeply over them. I have them too. They don't go to meeting anymore. And they stopped going when they were about 17, didn't they? Oh, what a critical age. And we've wept over them until we can't weep anymore. But what moves my heart is to think that God weeps over them. That's Luke 19. The Lord Jesus came near to that city, and he wept. He wept. They are tears of love. They are tears of grief. They are tears of sorrow. Oh, friend, may I say tonight, your condition, unknown to you, I realize it, was unknown to me, and I hope it's a help to you tonight. But your condition as a sinner caused the Lord Jesus to weep. Have you ever thought of that? It's time you faced it. There's something in it. There's got to be something there. What is there that moved the holy face of Christ to be wet with tears as he looks upon that sin? Wept. Two things predominantly that he mentions, their peace, and they missed it. Thy peace. Peace with God. The battle over. The sin question settled. The death question settled. The hell question settled. Peace. Oh, what a blessing. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wept when he saw that they missed it. I know you don't intend to miss it, but you've missed it until now, and the devil's too smart for you, and your heart's more wicked than you know it to be, and you'll likely leave this place tonight like you came in. Unless you believe God tonight that the weeping of the Lord Jesus is showing you something more serious than you have as yet faced, you're missing peace with God, and you'll die an enemy, and a sinner, and a rebel. Could be self-righteous, never swore, never smoked, never drank,
and still be an enemy of God, for he has not made peace with him. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, he wept.
The second thing the Lord Jesus mentions is that he weeps over the fact that they missed their time of visitation. Oh, what a solemn thing that is. I would to God that I can say this kindly, even though I'm saying it publicly tonight. I wish God would break my heart more. When I think of standing before men and women and young people with God's Christ being offered to them, as you have heard tonight, in all his ability and availability and willingness to save you, as you sit upon that chair where you are tonight and give you the assurance of it, and yet you've passed it by, week number 4, and you've missed it. Meetings in Fairview came and went, and you still missed the time of visitation. God is moving. Still moving here, praise his name. He's visiting. And the Lord Jesus wept. They missed him. Mind you, the Lord Jesus was still there. He still preached. They still heard his voice. But they were not visited. The awful judgment of darkness had fallen upon them because they had said no once too often. No wonder he wept. As I look into your face, young man and young lady, I could tell you stories about young men and women whose funerals I have had to take. And they would break your heart. But I'm not here to move your emotion. I'm here to try and unveil to you what's really in your heart. And if you ever get to see it, you'll weep. And I hope you don't wait until it is too late, as the third reading that we had tonight, the weeping of lost souls. God weeping over men who have no peace with God and who missed the time of their visitation. Can I note with you mothers weeping? I realize that this is a very touchy subject, for there are many mothers here tonight, and I do not wish, I'm not endeavoring to try to speak to mothers about weeping over their children. I want to note what God is saying about the children and what made the mothers weep. I cannot help but think of a father weeping. David is his name. A son who refused to be reconciled. And he died. Oh, Absalom, my son. My son. And I see now, as I had my arm around the shoulder of a dear father, he said those very words, only his own son's name was in it. Oh, David was his name. Oh, David, my son, I wish I had died. Now let me note with you why his parents are weeping. I know that you do not want to make your parents weep. That's not what I'm touching on tonight. I'm not trying to look at your parents and try to move them about the thoughts of perhaps something may happen to my son. What I want you to notice tonight, my dear friend, is what makes a Christian parent weep. Is the awful truth that's revealed in that verse, as we noticed in connection with the people of Israel. Jeremiah had preached to them, and he had preached to them with tears. Dear Jeremiah, a weeping prophet, he was weeping not because he was a pessimist. He was weeping because he had his heart as big as his God, and he longed to see those people saved. Why were they weeping? Because they were a people who had had a Bible in their hand and didn't believe it. And my dear young man and young lady, can I say to you tonight in this meeting, there is no guarantee whatsoever
that you will ever have another opportunity to open that Bible and get down to business with God. Need I say that mother and father would weep? But the reason for their weeping will be greater because of the fact they didn't believe God. That will break any father's heart. That will break any believing mother's heart. And I mean break it. May I say to you, my dear boy and girl in this meeting, in your sin tonight, if the Son of God wept tears upon that holy face because of the danger of your soul and the awfulness of your wicked nature and that heart within your breast tonight that is vile and deceitful in His holy sight and He yearns to see you saved from its power and penalty, can I say to you, my dear friend, that's what causes father to weep in prayer. That's what causes mother to wipe her eye when father is praying. And your name is mentioned. I know I saw my mother weep. And I saw my father too. I hated him. Hated it rather. Didn't hate him. I hated it when he mentioned my name in prayer. Save Jimmy. He's on the way to hell. You know, that didn't make me want salvation, sad to say that. What it really revealed to me was how wicked I was. Oh, I wanted it. I wanted to be saved. Don't think I didn't want it. I always wanted it. I never intended to miss it. But when I was a boy, just before I got saved, I got run over with a load of oats on a farm. And when I woke up in the hospital, big heavy doctor was leaning over me and said, young man, you're a very fortunate young man. Anyway, when I was recovering at home and laying on a little couch in the back porch, for it was summertime, my mother put on records for me to listen to, old wind-up gramophone. Used to wind the thing up and put the record on. I'll tell you the one that hit me most of all. Tell Mother I'll be there. And that made this poor sinner weep, because I could not tell my mother. I'll be there, Mother. And young man, in your sin tonight, with the Lord's coming imminent and the realities and the finality of death, you cannot sin truthfully. Tell Mother, I'll be there. It's time that you recognize the reason for Mother's tears and not emotion. It's the stirring of a heart that yearns to see you delivered from Satan's grasp, from sin's power, and from the righteous penalty of your history as a sinner against God. Weeping parents. They furthermore, they had a preacher on their corner. They'd been moved by the preaching of the preacher, and God had given to them a simple way of salvation. Not one of them need to have missed it. Not one. The simple plan was, go out, and I will save you. And they reasoned with it. They questioned it. They listened to Jeremiah and came to the point where they didn't want to hear him. And they even went so far as to throw him in a pit. My friend tonight, why is it that you have not responded to the simplest invitation that man has ever received from heaven? Right from the lips of the Lord Jesus, come unto me. Come. Come. Just come. Just as you are. You have nothing to plea but your history of sin. You have no reason to come save that you are a sinner. Why will you not respond to the Lord Jesus? While you may, and be saved. Weeping parents. Ah, weeping David. Weeping Rachel. Weeping over their children. Who rejected the simple plan of God's salvation. Weeping sinners. Luke chapter 13. We read in that passage, as we have been reading, of people who knew where to find the door. I have to say, I have to stop sometimes contemplating that passage. For the awfulness of it, friend, I don't believe has ever gripped any of our hearts as it should. I know as gospel preachers we're constantly asking God to make it real to us so that we will not in any fashion make the issue fuzzy or careless or lighthearted. Because my friend, once that door closes, and can I say from my heart, may God graciously preserve lest it close tonight. And your face, my dear friend, will be covered with tears before the midnight hour strikes. And you'll know where to find the door. I know your hand will turn to that Bible. John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:15, I know you will read it. But it will be quiet, it will be silent to you. And the very words that once touched your conscience will be voiceless. There's no further word from God for you but to say, go away, worker of iniquity, go away. Oh, the solemnity, tears, the tears of men who are at the door, right outside the door. Will you hear the words of the Lord Jesus to a young man on one occasion? Thou art not very far from the kingdom of God. Never read of him going in. Oh, God graciously help you to see it, friend. What would it be to be outside that door? There will be crowds of people outside that door. People that you would not live with today, but you'll dwell with them eternally. There will be people out there that you know who should have been saved just like you, but there will be people missing in that crowd inside the door, like the woman of Roma of Luke chapter 8. I must mention her as I close. God graciously write it upon our hearts as I see Christ weeping. God graciously touch my heart. I know, my dear friend here tonight, in your sin, if only you could get a glimpse of what it meant to the Lord Jesus to look into the bitterness of that cup filled with sin and wrath, that you might see, flee from the wrath to come, comes from the voice of one that weeps. He longs to see you saved. Opportunity is within your grasp. The Savior of lost sinners is able and available, accessible tonight. You can turn to Him just as you are, with all your sinful history. Turn to Him now, and He will receive you. His word is true. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The woman of Luke chapter 8, chapter 7 rather, verse 38, was a woman who heard Matthew 11:28 in with the original occasion when it was spoken, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know the Lord Jesus never repeated it. She only heard it once. That's all she needed. I ask you, how many times must you hear it, friend? How many times must you hear the invitation of the Son of God to sinners, those who are young and those who are older here tonight, children and adults? The words of the Savior of sinners peal forth once again. Will you pass it by? Will you let it slip through your fingers as sand by the shore? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who is the me that you turn to? It's the man of wounded hands. My friend, those wounded hands tell of a price fully paid. It's the man of the wounded side that tells of his life's blood that flowed. The price is paid. Redemption has been wrought. Salvation has been purchased.
And he holds his wounded hands to you tonight. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. May I ask you, friend, will you weep like this dear woman? Or will you weep like those outside the door? The awfulness of knocking. Those words, to me, they pierce my heart. To think that there will be people knowing where to find the door and will come right to it and take a hold of Job 3:16. That's the door. There it lies open for you tonight. Salvation is there. It's for sinners. And they'll look at it. They'll yearn for it. They'll pray for it. And go away forever. Weeping. And the remorse, the anguish, the terror of a lost soul. Christ weeping because he loves you. Parents weeping with sorrow over you. Sinners weeping, so near yet lost forever. A saved sinner weeping. She had the word of the Lord Jesus for it. Thy sins are forgiven. How could he give her those words? Because she took him at his word. He said, come, and she came. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. My dear daughter-in-law, 15 years of age, before she ever knew my son, she went to gospel meetings, unbeknown to us. We never knew about it until after they were married. And dear Sandy, one evening as they were preaching concerning the wickedness of man's heart, in fact, the very text that was used was, on that evening, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's good preaching because it's God's word. And reveals what God has to deal with. That's what's in you, that's what's in me. Praise God for such a Savior that can deliver me from a deceitful heart. What a wonderful Savior. And dear Sandy, as they sang that last hymn, number 63 in our hymn book, which we will sing tonight, as they sang the first verse, she said, just as I am, she says, that's all I can do, Lord. It's just as I am, I can do nothing, I'm lost. Thy blood was shed for me. Why, she said, that's enough for me then. God says so. And she went home with the joy of knowing Christ is mine. And I remember the first time she told me, as we sat at the kitchen table, you talk about the tears of a forgiven sinner. They dripped onto the kitchen table from that dear girl's face as she brought to memory, forgiven, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. May God grant that this night there may be more than one sinner's face marked with tears of joy, forgiven because Christ died for me. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we wish we tasted a little deeper of thy spirit. Men are perishing. And we realize that we cannot hold them back. They're closer to hell tonight than they were last night. They have an increased number of sins in their history tonight that more than they had last evening. Oh God, the Lord's coming is closer than it was last evening. And death is nearer to all of us. Oh our God in heaven, graciously open our eyes. We're so blinded, we're so shallow. Eternity is irreversible, and salvation is available. What a great God of patience and love thou art. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. We praise thee he accomplished that work, and he is available tonight for all who would be simple enough to take him at his word, plus nothing, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We ask blessing upon thy word, O God.
We earnestly pray that no parents here will ever weep as Rachel will weep in that awful day. We pray, we look to thee to bless thy holy word to the praise of our Lord Jesus, and for the blessing of poor, dark, and sinful souls tonight, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 63, please. The first two and the last verses, 1, 2, and 5 of hymn number 63.